Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Adam McManus from theworldview.com, also co-hosting with me on this edition. And this is one of the most interesting stories that I've seen in popular media in a very long time. Now, let me begin with this. Today, we're going to talk about the most notorious killer in America, a true serial killer of the highest order, the longest lasting serial killer in America, perhaps the longest lasting serial killer in the history of the world. He's been killing for 50 years. That's longer than Hitler. Adolf Hitler was in for some 13 years after his election in, I'm going to say, 1932. Lenin got 7 years. He was dead quick after the Great Revolution in the Soviet Union. Stalin got 29 years. Mao got 28 years, roughly. But this killer got 50 years, and he's still killing.
Unashamedly.
He's still at it in Boulder, Colorado. 10 murders a week, 25,000 murders on his hands. I don't know if that's a record for one serial killer, but he's certainly an abortionist that has made history. I don't know that anybody else in the history of the world has killed for half a century and killed with impunity, except for the fact that God is in the heavens and he will not be mocked. Warren Hearn, abortionist, Psalm 52 comes to mind. Psalm 52, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. The tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and not root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So that's the psalm that strikes me, contrasting the mighty man that lifts his fist up in the face of God and does not show mercy to the orphan, to the widow, and yet continues to slaughter with, quote-unquote, impunity. That's Warren Hearn. And this Atlantic article on Warren Hearn is somewhat of a shock to my system, Adam, because, well, it's honest. The author is pushing for some level of honesty and self-consistency, something I haven't seen in the popular media when treating the issue of abortion.
The name of the article is The Abortion Absolutist by Elaine Godfrey, published May 12th in The Atlantic. And this is a man, the abortionist Warren Hearn, who specializes in late-term abortion. He ends the baby's life in the womb at 22, 25, even 30 weeks along in gestation. Colorado has no gestational limits on the procedure. While 90% of abortions in America occur leading up to the 13th week of pregnancy, he specializes in and has for some time in these late-term abortions and does not blink. 40 to 50% of his patients have said that their doctor said their baby in the womb had a serious abnormality or might need countless surgeries with little chance of survival. I've talked to a number of women personally who were told the very same thing. They were pro-life, they were Christian, they would never choose abortion, and yet their babies were born perfectly healthy. Others chose to stand by their baby despite the doctor's warning because there might be some kind of physical challenge, and the baby had that very same physical challenge. But they believe that that child is worthy because God created that child in his own image. This is a man who talked about those who oppose him outside his Boulder abortion clinic as zealots, religious adversaries who are zealots. And I wrote in my notes, zealots for life, like he's a zealot for death. And what's ironic is he spends his free time taking pictures of wildlife. He loves looking at God's creation and described himself as not religious, but that nature is his cathedral, as he takes pictures of penguins and far-flung places around the earth or cranes and enjoys what God has created, and yet doesn't see the irony that he's actually profiting from and has spent his life killing multiple thousands of children who are created in God's image.
I think what's happening with an article like this, and I'm just looking at the big picture, this author is pushing for self-consistency. I wouldn't say she's pro-life, but she certainly wants an honest answer from Warren Hearn. Why is he doing this? But you know what? The mills of God grind slowly, but very fine. At some point, the gods of the copybook headings with Tyre and Slaughter return. It's a point at which you've got to pay the piper. The epistemological self-consciousness demands a self-consistency that cannot sustain itself. In other words, what happens with the abortion movement is you can only fake your position for so long. You can only call this, you know, lifeless tissue for so many years. After a while, you have to just admit you're killing people. And you're killing lots of people. And so the truth comes out. And then at that point, well, justice is going to have to prevail. And it does. And it will. That is God's justice. It comes through. And hopefully at some point, the civil magistrate will come to the side of justice on the issue of abortion. In the meantime, at least there's some honesty in this article, and we want to get to some of these honest responses from Warren Hearn in this article from The Atlantic. That's next on Generation. Stay with me. Hey friends, you've heard me say for months now that the Colorado Father-Son Retreat is filling up. Some of you are still on the fence on this. Maybe you're thinking the summer is a long way away, but hear me again. Both weekends are filling up right now, so don't miss out. Join me, Kevin Swanson, and hundreds of other dads and sons at the Colorado Father-Son Retreat. Here's what Randy, one of the dads from last year's retreat, is saying. This is an experience your son will remember for the rest of his life. Take the time, dads, get away. Be present in your son's life. You know, I agree with Randy. Take the time to be present in your son's life. Summer will be upon us in no time. Invest in your relationship with your son this summer by attending the Colorado Father-Son Retreat in the Colorado Rockies. With games, archery, zip line, worship, interesting upbuilding messages, great food, and dedicated time with your son, can you think of anything that would be more valuable to do this summer? Hey guys, go to ColoradoFatherSon.com right now and register today before it's too late. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on Generations. Kevin Swanson with you, Adam McManus as well, addressing the Atlantic article on Warren Hearn, the most notorious serial killer in America. And he's been doing it without any reprisal or any arrest on the part of the civil magistrate in the state of Colorado since 1972. And of course, Colorado, the most pro-abortion, or at least almost the most pro-abortion state in America, the second most evil state in America. That's where I live. And by the way, Texas comes out as number one as the very best state in terms of public policy on some of these moral issues. You know, we've got a couple of different worldviews in our respective states, Adam.
Yes, okay. We do.
So this article demands a level of honesty. In fact, the author of this article describes in rather macabre detail the procedure used to kill these babies in the second and third trimesters.
And we do issue a warning. If you've got young children nearby, you might want to pause and listen to this later because it is difficult to hear, but we need to hear it nonetheless. The reason there is a fee of $6,000, as Kevin reported in his newscast recently, is that these late-term abortions are very medically complex. They take several days. What happens is the abortionist, Warren Hearn, uses a thin needle to inject a deadly liquid into the baby's body to kill the baby, to stop the baby's heart, inducing what the abortion industry euphemistically calls, quote, inducing fetal demise, end quote. Then Hearn will insert one or more laminarias. a term most of us are not familiar with. It's a sterile, brownish rod of seaweed into the patient's cervix to start the dilation process. And then when the cervix is sufficiently dilated after another day or two of adding and removing multiple laminarias, Hearn drains the amniotic fluid. It gives the patient the second part of that abortion pill, misoprostol, and then removes the baby. Sometimes the baby is totally intact. Other times he literally is pulling the baby out piece by piece with these very deadly forceps. It grabs on to a baby's leg or a baby's arm or sometimes even the head itself to rip and pull and tear apart. And here's what's so ironic and odd. If the patient asks, a nurse will wrap the baby, the dead baby, in a blanket to hold or present a set of handprints or footprints for the patient to take home. I put, why, what? What's going on here? Because I think even the woman who is going through this recognizes the humanity of the child and the need to perhaps mourn or remember the life of the child, even though she was the one that okayed it and paid $6,000 for the taking of it. Some have even described it as mercy killing. Putting my baby down was what one said, because her baby had been diagnosed with multiple brain anomalies. But it is killing nonetheless. The actual mother said, it's euthanasia. That's the kind of killing this is. So said the mother. And Kevin, you cannot do this as a human being without it affecting you emotionally. And that's exactly what this article in The Atlantic says Warren Hearn has grappled with, lo, these many years.
Warren Hearn is a moral creature created in the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, has a conscience. Even a serial killer of this order has a conscience. And this comes out in most certain terms in this article from The Atlantic. Warren Hearn had learned how to do DNC abortions in a medical school. Still, he was terrified, and so was his first victim, or mom. He recalls that after he finished and told her she wasn't pregnant anymore, she wept with relief. He did too. I was overwhelmed by the significance of the operation. This was a new definition for me for practicing medicine. Well, I'm sure it was. It's certainly as a new definition for practicing medicine in the history of medicine. Typically, doctors don't kill their patients. They're supposed to heal them. That's the idea. But anyway, the work sometimes got to him. Okay, this is from the article. Listen. He would often retreat to his office to compose himself after an abortion. Partly, it was the high-stakes nature of the procedure, but he also needed time to process how the dead fetus looked, how removing it felt. Sometimes he'd sit in his office and think, what am I doing? He had bad dreams, too. In the 1970s, physicians did not induce fetal demise during abortion. Once or twice during a procedure at 15 or 16 weeks, he used forceps to remove his fetus with a still-beating heart. The heart thumped for a few seconds before stopping, but for a long while after, a vision of that fetus would wake Hearn up from sleep. He could see it in his mind, the inches-long body and its heart, beating, beating, beating. In one dream, Hearn angled his own body to shield his staff from catching a glimpse. Other people might have decided that this work wasn't worth the haunting images, the pricks of conscience. Again, this is from The Atlantic. Listen, they might have quit, but for Hearn, the psychological stress of the work was the necessary cost of, quote, helping patients. He saw it as his job to carry some of the emotional weight. Over time, the stress became easier to manage. He stopped needing to compose himself between procedures. The bad dreams went away. In 1978, Hearn presented a paper before the Association of Planned Parenthood Physicians in San Diego entitled, What About Us? Staff Reactions to DNE, in which he concluded that though medically safe, surgical second trimester abortions are clearly more emotionally difficult for providers than earlier ones. Some part of our cultural and sometimes even biological heritage recoils at a destructive operation on a form that is similar to our own, even though we know that the act has a positive effect for a living person. This is Hearn writing. We have reached a point in this particular technology where there's no possibility of denying an act of destruction. It is before one's eyes. I quoted that paper during a conversation with Warren Hearn as we sat shoulder to shoulder at a bar in downtown Boulder. He was nodding before I finished. Many of his colleagues were annoyed by what he'd written, he said. The abortion rights movement isn't exactly eager to talk about these visuals, mostly because it gives fodder to the opposition. Hearn's comments about destruction still appear on a number of anti-abortion websites as evidence of the horror of the procedure. But the point of his report was to be honest, Hearn said. He stands by it. Why not face the truth that abortion, late in pregnancy, is at least in one way destructive? He still believes that such destruction can be profoundly merciful. Regardless of the circumstances of a pregnancy, in Hearn's view, a woman's life, her humanity, her wishes, isn't just more important than her fetus. It is virtually the only thing that matters. That approach is diametrically opposed to the view of anti-abortion advocates for whom pregnancy means motherhood and often self-sacrifice. Hearn understands that few share his convictions. This is a grotesque conversation to many people, but this is a surgical procedure for a life-threatening condition. And he goes on. So she presses. If a pregnant woman with no health concerns comes to the clinic, says, say at 30 weeks, what would you do? The question irked him. Every pregnancy is a health issue, he said. There's a certifiable risk of death from being pregnant, period. Well, this man's conscience was pricked for a time, but it appears he has seared his conscience. This is what 1 Timothy 4 refers to. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, that means it's been dulled. That means it's been hardened. It's been calloused. And that's precisely what's happened here. He purposefully hardened his own conscience so that he could get away with killing some 25,000 children over a period of 50 years, half a century. Incredible. Now, again, what about the emotional and physical stress a husband provides a wife? Should she kill her husband or hire Warren Hearn to do it? His bottom line ethical argument is this. The parent's choice to maximize her own health and reduce any risks is a greater good than the murder of the child. Say that one more time. His bottom line ethical argument is the parent's choice to maximize her own health and reduce any risks, that is physical, mental, emotional risks, okay, that is a greater good than the murder of the child. But again, what about the emotional and physical stress a husband provides a wife? Should she kill her husband or hire Warren Hearn to do it? Or what about the emotional and physical stress that children and a wife provide a husband? Should he kill his own family, given that, you know, his own well-being outweighs the life of the other? Okay, and then the idea is that the pregnancy offers some degree of both emotional and physical risk for a woman. There's no question about that. But again, the ethical argument is, does maximizing one's own health and reducing any risks of that emotional and physical health a greater good than the murder of the child? Now, of course, the Word of God bears this out in a simple command, thou shalt not murder. So he's violating God's law, and that's the fundamental problem with killing babies, whether or not that baby is, you know, 3 months old, 6 months old, 9 months old, or 3 months out of the womb, or a year or two old, and at that point still harming a woman's emotional and physical well-being because of the stresses that children have on parents, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb. There's no question that children are wearing on a parent's physical and emotional health, and I think that every parent understands that. But the question is, because they're an imposition upon the woman's physical and emotional health, does that mean that the woman has the right to kill the child? Warren Hearn says yes.
Even if you dismiss the humanity of the child and you conclude that they are not created in God's image, the argument is really falling flat to anyone that thinks it through. I mean, study after study points to the fact that women who've had abortions deal with all kinds of emotional trauma from having had that abortion. They have nightmares of their baby coming back to haunt them. They are more inclined to sexual promiscuity, more inclined to abuse drugs or alcohol, more inclined to suicidal thoughts or even committing suicide. For the abortionist, Warren Hearn, to claim that this is just going to be the magical pill that will solve the problem of the potential stress of the woman, apart from the morality of the baby and his or her worth in God's eyes, it's not true. It's a lie.
It's also interesting that the author of this article interviewed half a dozen of Hearn's former patients. Most of the women who agreed to talk had wanted a child, but they received serious diagnoses late in pregnancy, disorders with disturbing names such as prune belly syndrome, trisomy 13, Dandy Walker malformation, and agenesis of the corpus callosum. Some said they consider their abortions a kind of mercy killing. By the way, Hearn estimates that about half of the women who came to the clinic did not have these diagnoses. But whatever the case, Dandy Walker has a 15% mortality rate. But treatment up front actually helps those risks. Prune belly syndrome. Many individuals with prune belly syndrome have good physical and mental health, despite all the concerns. With proper treatment, longer, healthier life, very much possible. And agenesis of the corpus callosum. Kim Peek, inspiration for the film Rain Man. Do you remember Rain Man? And,
oh, yes.
The severely Hoffman. Autistic young man. I think it was Tom Cruise.
No, it was Dustin Hoffman. Tom Cruise was his friend.
Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman, same movie. Dustin Hoffman played the part of Kim Peek. Kim Peek had agenesis of corpus callosum. And, of course, Kim Peek is renowned for his savant abilities. He was born with this agenesis of corpus callosum. So the point is, okay, so what, we're supposed to abort Kim Peek? So that's the idea here. Well, yeah. So even these mentioned, in the article, very, very much survivable. Okay, maybe their mortality rate is 10%. The rest of us, for the rest of us, by the way, our mortality is closing in on 100%. So keep that in mind. come on.
Yeah, closing in. By way of background, I was intrigued to learn in this Atlantic article about abortionist Warren Hearn that he was part of a voluntary sterilization program for adults in Appalachia. The author of this article, a woman, says the word sterilization can carry an ominous ring. Hearn says, though, that his work was intended to give low-income people choices and reduce their financial hardship. It sounds like spaying and neutering your dog or your cat. This is what he said in his own words in the New Republic, referring to these poor Appalachian families, particularly young, reproductively capable men and women. Quote, families like these require housing, clean water, food, and sanitation. But one of the most important needs is freedom from the tyranny of their own biology, end quote. Can you imagine?
That's edging into eugenics. That's pretty much where Charles Darwin and his Galton friends and all the rest were, and brought about the horror of Hitler's elimination of the Jews and et cetera. Okay, so that's the kind of thing, the idea that you're going to solve a problem, genetic problem, by sterilization in this form is just, an implementation of the Darwinian eugenics concept. And that, of course, is utterly, utterly unacceptable. And
it is unacceptable. He is very hostile to Christianity. He says, quote, the Bible says to go forth and multiply and dominate the earth and blah, blah, blah. But that is exactly the wrong advice, end quote. The author says he's read the Bible a few times. Now, when I originally read that, I thought, read it through in its entirety, Genesis to Revelation. Then I wrote, no, probably not all the way through. Probably you might have picked it up and looked at a couple verses here or there. But he lumps in every Christian, calls them the modern face of fascism, all Christians, and puts them all lumped into white supremacists. This is his worldview. He hates God. He hates anyone associated with God. And he rejects the command of God to be fruitful and multiply.
And this precisely repeats the pattern of what we've seen since the 19th century. These are the apostates of the Western world. These are those who have developed these philosophical perspectives all the way back from Darwin, Marx, and Nietzsche. And these are those who have brought about the horror of the genocides of the 20th century, hundreds of millions of people slaughtered because of these ideas. And ultimately, they are apostates from the Christian faith. That's Warren Hearn is. That's what Charles Darwin was. That's what Friedrich Nietzsche was, the son of a Lutheran pastor. That's what Karl Marx was at one point, baptized into the Lutheran Church and then infected by Satan himself, identified himself with Apollyon as the destroyer, and then went on to bring about some of the most horrific policies that would bring about the deaths of hundreds of millions of people in communist China, Soviet Union, and of course Germany, affected by these ideologies as well. But I would say now these horrific ideas have worked their way into the abortion movement in America by way of Warren Hearn and others, and coming back to the real problem, that is, these are the apostates. These are those who know about the Christian God, have abandoned the Christian faith, and then gone on to bring some of the worst possible consequences upon the entire world in the 20th and 21st century, Warren Hearn being one of the last of this breed. Well, friends, Psalm 52 pretty much summarizes it. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. Now, I would say, God have mercy on the soul of this man. God bring him to repentance. So we pray for this. And yet, at the same time, God bring an end to these injustices, these horrific injustices that have wiped out roughly half of the world's population since the 1960s. And I believe that number is actually fairly accurate, not just through these third trimester abortions, but through the first trimester abortions, through the use of abortifacients, through the use of the IUD, which really takes out 7 to 8 million babies per year, according to some rather respected calculations. And so, friends, we're talking about the slaughter of at least half of the world's population since 1960. I don't believe we've ever had the technology to accomplish such efficient slaughter in the history of the world. And most of that has come out of the technology developed in the United States of America. Shame on us for exporting abortion around the world and taking out roughly half of the world's population, 3, 4, 5 billion people slaughtered by abortion, the abortifacient birth control pill and the IUD over the last 50 years. And Warren Hearn has been leading the pack. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I'd encourage you to my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the worldviews that have brought this about. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.